Father, we thank you for the many blessings and gifts that you have given us. Put these to good work to further your cause and your soon return. For Jesus' sake, amen.
Children ever, lead in the holy way. Today I'm going to be reading Isaiah 58:1. Cry aloud, spare not, lift up your voice like a trumpet. Tell my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sins.
What's that? No feedback. No feedback. Happy Sabbath. I'm glad you're still all awake. Again, welcome. Pastor is usually preaching, but he had some oral surgery this last week. Keep him in prayer. Is he doing better? Okay. So keep him in prayer. He was in a lot of pain yesterday from what I hear. So talking about prayer, before I start, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Dear Jesus, I ask that you empty myself. Empty my words that are in my brain, and only the message that you have given me, and may only the Spirit be heard, your Spirit. May each one of us have the freedom to hear the message for all of us in this time. In your name, Jesus Christ, amen. Heard a story last week, and I had already had the sermon in mind, and as I heard the story, as the person was telling me about this event that happened many months ago, I think maybe even years ago, the Holy Spirit started speaking to me and said, jot this down. So I took a pen and found the most piece of paper and started writing this story down. Of course, that was last week, and I forgot it through this busy week, and so I called him up again, and I said, would you please remind me of the story? I asked him if I could use it for the sermon this week, and they said, sure, and so I called him up again just to get the story right, because you want to get the story correct. This is a true story. This happened. Well, the story is about a mother and a son, and the son started drinking alcohol, thought it was a lot of fun, and drank it heavily. Well, one day, he went into the doctor with some health problems, and the doctor told him, you need to stop drinking alcohol. Well, apparently that wasn't enough, because he kept on drinking against the wishes of the doctor, and he kept on drinking so much that 2 years later, he developed pancreatitis. And from that, the pain was so bad that not even morphine could knock the pain. They had to give him some stronger medicine in order to even take a little bit of the pain away. And after that, because his pancreas wasn't developing the insulin well enough, he developed diabetes as well. Well, at this time that he was in the hospital, his mom came to him. And the mom was a God-fearing woman and had told him various things whenever the time was appropriate. And this time, she held nothing back. As you can imagine, a mother seeing their child in pain, and she held nothing back. She said, this is God's wake-up call for you. God didn't cause this. You caused this. But he allowed this to happen to you. And this part of the story got me when she was telling me, and this is why I started writing it down, because it was something different than I've normally heard. She said to her son, God has something better for you than alcohol. She could have gone down the list of things why it's bad. She could have gone into the Bible and various reasons why alcohol is bad, and just beat it into him that alcohol, he should never drink again. But instead, she said, God has something better for you than alcohol. This is a wake-up call, and you need to listen. The wake-up call should have been 2 years earlier when the doctor was speaking to him and said, do not drink alcohol. But he didn't listen. And so God allowed the pancreatitis, the diabetes to come in. And she said to her son, you need to start living better. Change your diet. He listened this time. He turned his life around. He gave up alcohol. He started eating healthier. And soon enough, the diabetes had left. And then she told me last night, she told me that the part of the story she didn't tell me last week, she told me that he was looking for a job on first shift. And he couldn't get it during this time. And after he started listening to God, he got that first shift job. But not only that, but he actually got a job better than the one that he applied for. They looked at him and thought of him a better employee than the job that he applied for. God is good. God is good. I think Maya would be saying, what's wrong with you people? God is good. And all the time, God is good. Well, there was another person in my life that was told the same thing, to get off alcohol. That person never listened and ended up dying from alcohol poisoning. We are told consequences. We're told that our actions, our decisions, have consequences. There is something better for us. I mean, we are told, we tell our children there is something better for us than the various evils of this world. The pastor has spent many weeks and months and years preaching, teaching. In the last couple of weeks to months, he's been going over the series Practical Godliness. I hope you are listening. And if something, as he says, steps on your toes, if something has stepped on your toes, the Bible has stepped on your toes, then I hope that was a wake-up call enough for you to change your life. I hope that was enough for you to give up whatever the talks that he was talking about, the talks about alcohol, the talks about caffeine, the talks about, I know he said more, but I had a pretty bad week. So, and our church school tell us about the various consequences as growing up. We hear the adults, the teachers, the pastors telling us, if you touch that, you're going to get burned. Or you fill in the blank. The various things that we are warned. Yet do we listen? Do we listen? Most of the time we don't. And what about the flip side? What about along with us this warning of consequences when we do break free of the various sins in our lives, the various things that are the consequences of the evil actions that we have, when we break free from those evil actions, what do we do then? When we break free of the addictions, what do we do? You know, there's a great group of people that actually go around the country or go to whoever will listen to them, and they will speak about these various things and try to warn the youth, try to warn individuals against doing these things. They spend countless hours of seminars and testimonies. And what do we do when we break free from a sin? When our life changes, do we tell people? Many of us are baptized. What have you done with the information that you are learning through the studying of Scripture? Are you going out and sharing the good news? Well, we need to trumpet a certain sound. We need to give a warning. But it first starts with us, doesn't it? You can't give a warning if you haven't heeded to the warning. How many of you have, it's been a couple months now, but how many of you have kept up with your, you don't need to raise your hand too, how many of you have kept up with your reading of the testimonies? Pastor Richie came here as a guest speaker to talk about the importance of going through the testimonies. Now, I will be the first person to say there was a couple weeks that I did not read the testimonies. And I got them back onto them, and wow, do I need those. Wow. And there's one that I have from the library. It's the first volume. And I'll share a portion of it later. But shortly after that, I preached about the Laodicean message, making the mark. And one of the things in the Laodicean message that really isn't amplified, isn't really stressed out as much, or really, I can't remember hearing too many people talk about the true witness and the counsel of the true witness that we need to heed. We often hear our church is in the state of Laodicea. Great, we're sleeping. It's like going to the doctor. I think I remember saying this. It's like going to the doctor for a diagnosis. And the doctor tells you what you have. Doesn't tell you how to cure it or what to do. He just tells you whatever diagnosis he gives you. Great. Now I can go on living my life. Right? No. Most of the time, the diagnosis is something serious. And that we need to make a change in our lives. We need to listen to the trumpet in our own lives as a trumpet call for each one of us. Those are rights in Numbers 10. Numbers chapter 10, verse 9. The first verse of that chapter, the second verse, talks about God telling them to make two silver trumpets. And what was the purpose of these silver trumpets? Well, first, to gather the community together. To gather the leaders together. Everyone together. The second purpose is found in Numbers 10, verse 9. And if ye go to war in your land against the enemy that oppresseth you, then ye shall blow an alarm with the trumpets, and ye shall be remembered before the Lord your God, and ye shall be saved from your enemies. That's a gospel text. Did you realize that? That's a gospel text. Because you might look at it and go, but we're in church. We're in America. There is no war. There's no battle. Are we in a battle? Are we in a great controversy? You may not realize it. How many times do we realize that we are in a battle? I was telling the class this morning in the young adults class. I said, there is a deception going on, and I don't know if you're aware of it. There is something deceiving you, and I'm not sure you're aware of it. And I'm speaking to you too, church members, visitors. I'm not sure you're aware of it. Because there is a horrible event that happens, such as the shooting in Las Vegas, and almost immediately we forget about it. You may have a difficulty, a trial in your life, and as soon as that trial is over, how often do you forget about that trial? And how God led you through it? How many of us forget as we live our lives that we are even in a great controversy? I mean, we are in a war. We may not be able to see it. It may not be as physical as wars that are on this earth. Physically with machine guns and tanks and planes and ships and stuff like that. It may not be like the war on terrorism. But there is a war with Christ versus Satan. A Messiah sin saver versus a slanderer and an accuser. Truth versus lies. We are in a war. And you best believe we need a trumpet. Because if you look at the text again, it says, and if you go to war, which we are at war, in the land against the enemy that oppresseth you, be sure, even if you live a very nice life right now, even if things are going smoothly in your life right now, you are at and in a war. And you are being oppressed. And you may not even know it. And when that happens, you shall blow an alarm with the trumpets. and ye shall be remembered. God will remember you, and he will come to you, and he will save you. And Jesus does save, doesn't he? Jesus saves in this time and day. He wants something better for us, and he has something better for us. We may not be able to see it, but what does Hebrews 11 say? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And what does Paul say to the Corinthians? He says, we live by faith, not by sight. So you may not be able to see it, but God does have a better thing for us. If we turn to Jeremiah, he talks a little bit more about it. He was telling the people in Jeremiah's time he had something better for them because they were living in sin. They were living with idolatry. Okay, I could say it. Idolatry. They were serving idols. Now, I heard one person say once, we have sophisticated idols. We have sophisticated idols that don't even look like idols anymore. And so unless we have the spiritual eyes, the divine enlightenment, we don't even know we're serving an idol. But we may be. And we need to find out, don't we? Well, Jeremiah chapter 6, oh, I forgot to tell you where. Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16. I'll give you some time to get there. Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16. You know, I don't know how many of you know how Jeremiah lived his life. But Jeremiah did not have a great life. It was a very difficult life. How many of you would like to spend some time at the bottom of a broken cistern? No, I don't want to either. On top of that, he was constantly dealing with false prophets. Being accused of being a bad prophet because he's saying the Babylonians are going to come and we're going to be here for 70 years. And one prophet came up and said, no. See, I have a bar that can be broken. And that's going to be Babylon. It's going to be a simple sentence, and we're going to be done with it very quickly. And, you know, serving God is a pleasure. Don't get me wrong. But I don't know about you. I'd rather preach. How many of you would rather preach than have an iron bar going around and being a living illustration in that way? I'd rather preach. I'll speak for myself. But anyhow, verse 16 of chapter 6, it says here, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? Walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. That's what God has for you. Rest for your souls. You're here at church on Saturday because you recognize the true day of the Sabbath, and which is the day of rest that he intends for us. And what do they say? But they said, we will not walk in them. God has something better for you than what you think is good for yourself. But how many times do we say to God, I know better. I know better. This is where I want to be. This is where I want to go. And we say, no, God, we will not walk in your way. We will walk in our own way. And where does that get us? in trouble. It says, verse 17, also I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken, we will not hear, we will not listen. So think about this when the pastor preaches up here, when the guest speaker preaches up here. Are you going to listen? Are you going to just look at them and go, it's almost noon. It's time's up. It's your time to go. We need to listen. Because that trumpet is for us. There's a trumpet call for each one of us. There's a watchman, as we will talk about later, trumpeting a call for us, trying to arouse and wake us up. But how long shall we ignore the message and counsel? On the front of your bulletin, is the church's mission statement. And let me read this again. I have done this before, and I will do it again. To have a world-impacting local presence that reflects the mission of Revelation 14. Stop there. If you haven't been familiar with Revelation 14, go read it. Urging preparation for Christ's soon return by fostering the development of Christ's character. Whose character? Christ. The Messiah. The one who atoned and died for sinners. And proclaiming the three angels' message. Which if you go to Revelation 14 and become familiar with that, you'll notice that's the three angels' message, which we need to be familiar with. Pastor preached about it, I think it was last year. We need to be familiar with these. We have the three angels' message. We have a health message. How many of you show up for Check Wellness? What about the fact that we live in the Day of Atonement? How often have we forgotten to examine our lives and our hearts and seen how our true condition is? Most of the time when we're looking into the mirror, we're going, gotta fix this beard just right. Gotta fix my hair, comb it just right. Does my tie look good? We're picking out our clothes. We're looking at how we look in that mirror. But how often do we look in the spiritual mirror and ask ourselves, where are we at with Jesus? Where are we at in this world that doesn't have much longer on this earth? Have you repented of your sins? Have you listened to the trumpet call that is calling out you and your life? Now, most of us, we often say, well, I'm just imperfect, and I'll live a life like this because I'm imperfect. I have Jesus, so I can be imperfect. But Jesus calls us to a higher standard. He calls us to be like Him. Another mission statement says to develop development of Christ's character. Christ says to be imitators. Paul says to be imitators of Christ, to follow Christ. And then that to be a disciple of Christ, you must be like Christ. Not to the point where Lucifer said, I want to be like the Most High, not to replace the Most High, but to have the character, the loving attitude, to be discerning of what to say to each other. to know when to say, this is a wake-up call. You need to change. Or your life is not going to be as great. God has something better for you. Why don't you trust Him and Him alone? But you may say, I'm a Sabbath keeper. I read my Bible. I read Spirit of Prophecy. I'm a good person. But have you truly taken a look at yourself lately, spiritually? How often do you do it? Well, every Sabbath is good enough for me. Well, every morning when I have devotion is good enough for me. Is just one moment in your life of examination good enough? I'll tell you, as a doctor, they say that you're supposed to go get physicals. You're supposed to get checkups. I'm not the greatest at that myself, so I'm speaking to myself. But they say we need regular checkups. Well, in the spiritual world, how often do you think you need a regular checkup? I would dare to say many times. Seconds. Ask yourself, is your heart converted? Are you converted? Do you have Jesus? Is Jesus in you? Are you in Jesus? Do you have that righteousness that He offers? Well, God says that I wish that none should perish. He wishes none of you to perish. Those that I am speaking to here, those that may be listening either on the radio later or listening on the internet later, He wishes that none of you should perish, but that all of you should come to repentance. Ezekiel chapter 33. Ezekiel chapter 33. Ezekiel was another one of those prophets. And we don't really think about very much. Think about how hard their lives were. If you need to read your Bible and just read it and be completely distanced from it, and now realize these are real people in difficult situations, as we have an easy life. Says in verse 2, Son of man, speak to the children of thy people and say unto them, when I bring the sword upon a land, if the people of the land take a man of their coast and set them for their watcher. Once we have heeded the trumpet call in our own lives, we need to sound the trumpet for others. We are all watchmen. We are watch people. We are all preachers. We are all messengers of the gospel. We all have a commission. And go out and preach, teach, make disciples. We have a commission. Well, Ezekiel 33 lays it pretty fairly clear. If when he seeth the sword, when, let's personalize it, if when you seeth the sword come upon land, and you blow the trumpet and warn the people, then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and take of not warning, if the sword come and take him away, or take them away, his blood shall be upon his own head. So if we go out there and warn people and tell people of Jesus coming and that we need to repent, if they don't listen, their blood is upon them. Their sin is upon them. He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning. His blood shall be upon him, but he that taketh the warning shall deliver his soul. Deliverance comes to those that heed to the trumpet call. And we have to give the trumpet a certain sound. We need to trumpet a certain sound. And then, Ezekiel says, but if the watchmen see the sword come, so if you see the sword come and blow not the trumpet and the people be not warned, if the sword come, take away any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity. So if you don't warn somebody to repent of their evil deeds, and they are taken away in their own wickedness. I mean, it makes sense. If you don't tell them what you're doing is bad, they're going to continue to do what they're doing. And then it says, but his blood will I require at your hand. Many times we think that prophecy will happen. Whatever will happen, because prophecy says it will happen. But if John thought that as God was telling him to write this down, and it was not published to people, where would we be? If John said, well, prophecy will happen, the three angels' message will happen, the book of Revelation will happen, but I don't need to really get it published out there. Where would we be? What if some of the gospel writers said, well, this is good enough for me, but I don't need to share it? You know, they are human like us. They very well could have said that. Any one of them could have said, don't feel like it. Somebody else will do it. I mean, you look at the Gospels. There's Mark, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. What if Mark said, well, John has it taken care of. He was there. He has a more detailed, personal view of it. What if Luke thought, Matthew is a Jew. He knows what he's doing. He knows what he's written. So I don't need to write to Theophilus. I don't need to warn him of the coming dangers. I don't need to write to the Gentiles. Scripture says the blood would have been upon them. How many of the preachers that we know of in history's past felt such an urge upon them to preach the message, not just to preach the message, but because they felt like if they didn't preach the message, then whoever didn't hear it, they were responsible for their blood. They were responsible. They knew there was something they needed to do, not just because God was calling to them, but because if they don't know it, they're going to die in their sins, and it's on me. It's my responsibility. God has called me. I need to do this. I need to share. I need to trumpet a certain sound. Because Paul went around and says, if we do not sound the trumpet, we are at fault. He says, when he's talking about the gift of tongues, he says, if we trumpet an uncertain sound, who will gather for the battle? If we don't do anything, who's going to gather for the battle? We are at a war, right? I just said that a couple minutes ago. We're in a great controversy. If we don't sound a certain sound, then who is going to come into the ranks of God's church, of God's people? They are going to continue to serve the wicked. They are going to continue to live a life not knowing anything different. And that is why the scripture reading in Isaiah, he says, cry aloud. Isaiah 51, cry aloud. Spill out. Lift up thy voice like a trumpet. And show my people their transgressions. And the house of Jacob their sins. How long will we sleep? How long will we sleep? Let me read out of the Testimonies for the Church, Volume 1. It is a trumpet call that Ellen White wrote for us. She says here, what shall I say to arouse the remnant people of God? I was shown the dreadful scenes are before us. Satan and his angels are bringing all their powers to bear upon God's people. He knows that if they sleep a little longer, he is sure of them, for their destruction is certain. I warn all who profess the name of Christ to closely examine themselves and make full and thorough confession of all their wrongs, that they may go beforehand to judgment, and that the recording angel may write pardon opposite their names. My brother, my sister, if these precious moments of mercy are not improved, you will be left without excuse. If you make no special effort to arouse, if you will not manifest zeal in repenting, these golden moments will soon pass. And you will be weighed in the balance and found wanting. Then your agonizing cries will be of no avail. Then you will apply the words of the Lord, and this is in Proverbs chapter 1, because I have called and you refused, I have stretched out my hand and regarded, but you have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall you call upon me, but I will not answer. This is the Lord speaking now. I will not answer. They shall seek me only, but they shall not find me. For they have hated knowledge, and do not choose the fear of the Lord. For they would none of my counsel, they despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way. Remember what I said earlier? God has something better for us. But how often do we want to choose our own way? God says, they shall eat of the fruit of their own way, and be filled with their own devices, for the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. Psalm 23. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. There is a trumpet call that we need to heed and we need to give. Psalm 119, verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man be cleansed? By taking heed thereto according to his word. John says in John 17, 17, sanctify by thy truth, for thy truth, thy word is truth. Yeah, sorry. Had it slightly memorized. Jesus is calling. Jesus is coming. Spread the God news. At first I thought I miswrote that. Then I was thinking, because normally you say spread the good news. And I was like, no. Spread God's news. Spread God's news. The whole world is not ready. A great amount need the messages that we have heard. The four angels' message. The health message. We have heard these messages. We have a pastor that has been dutiful and hearing to God's calling and preaching us what we need to hear. And that song, this is 575, let your heart be broken. This is great for us to hear, but there are people outside these walls that need to hear the same thing. It cannot stop and be contained in these walls. It needs to go out. We need to give the trumpet a certain sound. How many of you want to heed to that trumpet call? Come forward. I want to pray for you. How many of you want to give that trumpet call? Come forward. If you can't come forward because of ailment or you can't walk up here, I will pray for you there. But all who have feet that can walk forward, please come forward for prayer. And I appeal to you in my prayer. Dear Jesus, you see the people here. They've heard the trumpet call. Many of them have ministries that you have inspired them to take up. Many of them have gone through countless hours and months and days pleading for volunteers, pleading for your help and your wisdom. And we have gone months and days wondering, is this the way? Lord, may we by faith hold on to you and heed to the trumpet call. Lord, I pray that you will help us to spread the message, to blow the trumpet, for we are instruments, your instruments. Lord, we are timid creatures at times, aware of our own frailty to the point where we don't want to speak. But Lord, give us boldness and courage. Give us that certain sound that will not be wavering, especially in this time of need, in the time that this earth's history is in. For Lord, we're at the toes of the statue. Lord, you know where we're at. There may be a shaking soon coming. But Lord, you are building us, edifying us, and soldering the various places for the trumpet, so that we will not make a sound that is weak, that we will not make a sound that is a little off, but that we will make a sound most boldly and triumphant. In your name, Jesus, amen. For the closing hymn, I know it says in the hymnal 213, Jesus is coming, but the first line is, lift up the trumpets. For the benediction. Dear Jesus, Heavenly Father, Lord, bless us with a message. Bless us with the knowledge that you are our mouthpiece. Just like you told Moses, you can speak to the people. And he's telling us today, we can speak to the people. Lord, as we go our ways, may we remember the Sabbath day and experience the Sabbath blessing, and forget not that you are coming again. In your name, Jesus, amen. Before the prelude,
Mrs. Draggett has an update on Pastor.
Hello. I just wanted to mention, as Brian had said, that my husband had oral surgery on Thursday, and I know he would probably love to hear some encouraging texts or whatever. However, he needs to limit his talking, so probably phone calls or visits would probably not be best, but I know he would love to hear from you that you're thinking about him, and he's doing okay. He just needs to rest and take it easy. It's going to take about 6 weeks for his gums and everything to heal completely, so it takes a while, so that's why he's just really taking it easy and resting. He doesn't have a whole lot of pain, but he doesn't need to take pain medication right now, but he has a little bit of pain, but not more than he can handle, but he just needs to rest. But I know he would love to hear from anyone via text for now. Thank you.
Thank you.